seconds. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. Brand new edition of the show right here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. We have a lot to get into today, both local and national. It's a good time to be a Utah Jazz fan, isn't it? Jazz picked up another victory last night. Top of the Dallas Mavericks by 12 points. Utah's now won 10 consecutive games. And following a loss from the Lakers at the hands of the 76ers, the Jazz now have the best record in the NBA. Early on in a season, when you're 20, 25 games in, some weird things can happen. Remember when the Orlando Magic had one of the best records in the Eastern Conference, and it was a fun story for a couple of weeks? That kind of stuff can happen. The Jazz don't fit into that category. This is a pretty good basketball team. And I don't think there's any doubt that when you watch the way this team has played, it all starts with Rudy Gobert, who's averaging 13, 15, and 3 over the last 10 games. Donovan Mitchell's been great. But when you're getting this kind of production out of Rudy, those are the numbers he has to put up consistently for the massive contract that he got to pay off. He has to consistently be around that 15 and 15 mark. He has to be. And he is right now. And the Jazz are winning basketball games. And it doesn't hurt that that guy, Jordan Clarkson, he's pretty good off the bench as well, right? And I still feel like the missing ingredient last year was Derek Favors. I was thrilled when Utah brought this guy back in. And you're seeing it pay off. The Jazz look good right now. We'll talk NBA in just a bit. We'll also talk about a couple of names that may be floating around the buyout market. The buyout market's a big deal. And this is why I'm always wary of the salary cap in the NBA. Teams that are close or teams that are over the cap can always find ways to add pieces at the buyout market. Now, typically, your options are limited. Last year, I think it was Markieff Morris. I'm just thinking off the top of my head. Was Markieff? I think he was the biggest buyout name out there. And the Lakers grabbed him, and it worked out. He played a key role in them winning an NBA championship. This year's buyout market's going to look drastically different. The names are going to be much bigger. Reports started surfacing yesterday that Andre Drummond would be a part of that buyout market, and probably even Kevin Love if the Cavs cannot find a suitor. And when you look at Kevin Love's contract, I don't think they're going to. So the buyout market, I think, is going to be very, very interesting. And when you look at the teams like Brooklyn, I think you could throw the Clippers. Maybe you could put the Lakers in that category. Maybe you could put Utah in that category. These teams are going to have to capitalize on the buyout market, especially with the way the salary is this season moving into next. Buyout market's going to be huge. So we'll talk about that. It's coming up on the show just in just a little bit. We'll move on to the NFL. And the news came out last night that David Culley would be the next head coach of the Houston Texans. We had this conversation on Tuesday. It had to be Eric Bieniemy, right? Had to be Bieniemy as the head coach for the Texans. Had to be. Why else would Houston not make this announcement? They're the last team to not name a head coach. No, it's not Bieniemy. Instead, it's Culley. And Andy Reid expressed disappointment over this today, saying that Bieniemy was passed over for a third straight year. Here's what he said. I'm glad to have him for at least another season, but I'm not so glad I have him. I was really hoping he would have an opportunity to take one of these jobs. You guys know what I think of him. I think he's great. I think he would be great for a number of teams that opened up and help them win football games and also help develop men into men. I just think he's a great person. I don't feel bad for Andy Reid. I mean, really, you look at some of these franchises around the NFL. Look, Sean McVay cannot keep a coordinator right now. You can't. Brandon Staley, that's his new defensive coordinator, 1 year head coach for the Chargers. You go back and you look at Zach Taylor, that's his quarterback coach. He's there 1 year, head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. Matt LaFleur, there 1 year, OC for the Titans, head coach for the Green Bay Packers. A lot of what the Kansas City Chiefs have been able to establish over the last couple of years is due in part to the fact that Bieniemy has been a mainstay on this coaching staff. Third year as the Chiefs coordinator, interviewed for 6 head coaching jobs this year. He also interviewed for multiple openings over the past couple of seasons. And I think the question now has to be asked, is he just not interviewing well? He'll get a head coaching job at some point. And I'll tell you, Bieniemy has handled it like a class act. Total class act in the way he's handled it. Saw an interview with him earlier in the week. He was all smiles. He said, it's an honor just to get your name mentioned. And that's all you can ask for. What a humble guy, because in my mind, he is absolutely 110% ready to become an NFL head coach, but he's going to be sticking around with the Kansas City Chiefs for at least another year as all the openings are filled now. Outside of what's happening with Kansas City and I guess Houston, there's some more news for the Texans. Deshaun Watson has officially and formally asked for a trade from the Texans. He made the request to the team a couple of weeks ago, according to ESPN. David Culley has not and will not alter Watson's thinking. That's according to sources from ESPN. They reported this earlier today. Watson signed a 4-year, $156 million extension in September. He's under contract through the 2025 season. He has a new trade clause, but given the length of the deal and the possibility of being franchise tagged for 3 years, the Texans could choose not to trade him, and they would have control over his rights until 2028. Now, we've seen this in the NFL before, right, Steeler fans? You've seen this. Saw this with Le'Veon Bell. He didn't have the rights to Le'Veon Bell for 8 seasons or 7 seasons. But I'm curious to see how the Texans respond to this. I think you trade Watson, and I think you ask a king's ransom for him. But if the Texans choose not to trade him, he could opt out, not report to team activities or training camp, but that would cost him. Houston can fine him close to $100,000 for missing minicamp. They can fine him $50,000 per day each day of training camp, plus 1 week's salary for each preseason game missed. And if he was to choose to retire, the Texans could collect $21.6 million. None of that's going to happen because the Texans are going to move on to him, but that's the question. Well, what if they decide they don't want to trade him? That's what would happen. Watson signed this deal last year. He discussed how happy he was. He was committed. He was ready to go with the Texans. And now you start looking at some of the places where it makes sense for him to go. The Jets are one that has been mentioned. I don't think this happens, but I do believe you have to put the Los Angeles Rams in the conversation only because they too have a quarterback on a massive contract extension that kicks in this year in Jared Goff. I think you have to mention him. Just because it's going to be tough to move either one of these salaries. There are teams that can absorb both of them. But if that's the direction the Texans wanted to go, they have an option. I don't think you would consider Detroit, but Detroit has another quarterback that's unhappy. And the Lions have already said that they will trade Matt Stafford. We could have a lot of quarterback movement coming up this offseason. And that typically doesn't happen to the NFL. I guess we had some musical chairs last year. Jameis Winston, Tom Brady, just to name a couple that's fresh in my mind right now. There were some quarterback changes, but I think the quarterback carousel may look drastically different going into the 2021 season. That's a quick look at some of the news in the national sports front. We'll take a look at the schedule in the NBA tonight. Very short slate of games. We get the Portland Trail Blazers at the Houston Rockets. 5:30 start time for that game. The Lakers will travel to beat the Pistons at 6 p.m. The Lakers suffering their first loss on the road last night in a setback against the Philadelphia 76ers. The Clippers will travel to meet the Miami Heat. And then we get the Golden State Warriors at the Phoenix Suns. That game is on TNT tonight. Start time for that game is set for 8 p.m. As I mentioned, the Jazz, the new best record in the NBA. How about it? 14-4, winners of 10 straight. They now hold a half-game lead on the Lakers at 14-5. And then you follow that up with the Clippers at 13-5, and then the Sixers at 13-6. Phoenix, a team that a lot of people were high on at the beginning of the season, they've lost 7 out of their last 10. They have dropped out of the top 8 all the way down to number 9 at 8-8. At this very moment. We're going to break for just a moment. Local sports recap coming up. A lot to get into and what happened in the world of high school basketball last night. We'll talk high school wrestling. The divisional tournament, it's going down next week. We'll be joined by Coach Kurt Christiansen. Plus, we'll talk some NBA basketball. It's all straight ahead right here on Drive Time Sports.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
We've had so much basketball talk over the last couple of weeks. Basketball dominates the winter months. It just seems like it's going on every night, boys or girls. We also have kind of a downtime right now for wrestling, believe it or not. Kind of out of the norm, right? COVID-19 has affected wrestling, I think, more than any other sport. Typically, you have 50 matches. This year, it's cut in half. No overnight tournaments. It's been a little different. However, the Emory Spartans did get a meet in Tuesday. Emory traveled to North St. Pete, has completely dominated the field. Now they'll have to take a full week off before the divisionals next week, and then 2 weeks off after that for state. We're going to talk about that and more right now with our next guest, Coach Kurt Christiansen, joining us over the phone. And Coach, hey, I always appreciate you making time for us here on the show.
You bet. Glad to be here.
Well, Coach, I know things have changed a little bit. We had such a busy, busy schedule there for a little while. These kids were wrestling 2-3 meets a week, and now all of a sudden it's a kind of a dead time as we gear up for divisionals, which will take place next week. And then after that, another little lengthy break, and then we move into the state tournament. Earlier this week, we go back to Tuesday evening. Coach, you guys did have an opportunity to go on the road and take on North St. Pete, and I know that was something that you had to just be licking your chops at, knowing that there's just not a lot of action between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, we were really excited to pick that one back up. You know, we had to cancel that duel previous to due to COVID, so we got that one back, and they were kind enough to wrestle us. We had to go over to their place and get it done, but you know, it was a blast. We had a total shutout. Varsity score was 78-0, and we didn't lose a JV match all night either. So it was a good one to finish up the season on. They have a great positive attitude, working hard, headed into the postseason now.
Yeah, as far as the performance from these boys, Coach, I mean, you pitch a shutout, 78-0, and you talked to me off the cuff about some of the JV matches as well. You guys didn't lose a single match against North St. Pete. Been a little while since you've seen something like that. I mean, that dominant of a performance.
Yeah, you know what? That's our second shutout of the year. We got some at Academy once earlier this year, but it's not very often that you don't win a match or don't lose a match all night. You know, it's phenomenal the amount of effort these boys are putting in and how much they're invested in each other, and the team atmosphere is wonderful right now.
There's no doubt, Coach, going into the meet with North St. Pete, you probably felt very confident that you guys would dominate, but one match in particular was at 126, correct? Byron Christiansen, you thought that would be the match of the night, and it turned out to be really one-sided, which I guess that's kind of the story of the evening all the way around.
You know what? That really was. The kid is amazing. Casey Curtis, he's just a stud, and he does a lot of off-season wrestling, and things were, you know, it was shaping up to be the match of the night, and Byron just went in and dominated. It was pretty fun.
Coach, we'll talk about some of the other performers in this particular meet, and I guess I'm gonna send the question to you. Now that we've reached this point, who do you believe is firing at the top of their ability, peaking at the right moment with divisionals right around the corner?
Hey, you know what? I think my whole team's peaking really good. I fully expect Monty and Brayson at 106 to be state qualifiers and placers. Merritt and Sid at 13. Caden World at 120. Byron's going to make a heck of a run at 126 for a state finals match. He has a returning state champion and a two-time returning state champion in his weight class, and he's given a heck of a run at it in the previous matches. I fully expect him to come into that divisional tournament and dominate and come into this state meet sitting high. Right now, at 132 at the, you know, at state level, I have Dwayne and Jaron. Both of them are right now ranked one and two in our division and 3 and 4 in the state. So watch for fireworks on that end. I fully expect to wrestle off again for the divisional championship right there at 132, Emory versus Emory.
That would be something, wouldn't it? Well, how do you handle that if you're a coach?
Oh, it's tough. I'll tell you what, if they weren't so close and good friends, it would be a total battle, because it's a battle anyway. It's a bloody wreck of a mess every time we wrestle off. our last wrestle off was at the LIT in Layton, and they had a wrestle off previous to that at the Tournament of Champions in Vernal. We've kind of been letting them wrestle off at those big meets under the lights with a real referee, and it's been great. And they're swapping wins. I'm telling you, I couldn't tell you who was ranked number one right now. We have to get into our archives and kind of figure it out for our divisional ranking tournament to see which one we place over the other, because they're swapping wins. You know, it's awesome. They just push each other to the max. And you know, we have at 138, I've got Drake Mangum and Jacob Ewell. Both of them will be state qualifiers and state placers. At 145, I've got, this is my youngest, most inexperienced weight class, I would tell you. Kelby Jones is coming in and taking the varsity spot, but we've got four kids at that weight class that those three at the bottom, they're going to have a battle to get into the divisional tournament. It's going to be a regular old bloodbath there come wrestle-off time next week, to see who gets to be the JV spot to go into the divisional tournament.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Kurt Christiansen of the Emory High School wrestling team. Coach, all the COVID protocols, everything that we've had to go through now that the regular season is complete, how fun has this year been?
What a blast. I just wish that they could wrestle in front of their home crowd more. This is the funnest bunch of guys, and they're just dominant. And every time we have a duel or a tournament, they put on a show. I mean, you know, wrestling at the higher level can be sometimes be a little bit laborious and boring almost if you don't know what's going on the mat. And these guys are dynamic. They make it fun. They make big moves, and they wrestle hard and fast. It's just such a ball.
Yeah, the next question I would have for you would be, when you look at the competition and the way you guys handled it against North St. Pete, is it ever boring?
No.
Okay. I mean, in basketball, look, you can destroy an opponent 90-20. It gets boring. I know wrestling's completely different. So going into these meets knowing you guys have been so dominant, do you ever get complacent?
No, you know what? They don't, because they are wrestling some really tough opponents. Like last night, you know, the Byron Casey match, the one at 195, the one at 220. See, the kid that Braden beat last night at 220 was, he's only got two, that was the second loss on the season, and Braden handed it to him. You know, that's how dominant our guys are. And it was a nail biter all the way through. Each one of those matches, that they put on a performance. It's awesome. I love these guys.
Coach, now that you have really a full week off before you go into divisionals, how do you handle that with the boys? I mean, so much depth on this team, so much competitiveness. Do you really just continue to push each other that hard in practice over the next month, basically?
Yeah, I think that we just we've made a commitment to kill each other every day of practice, so that when we get to a match or a tournament, it's a day off. And our philosophy is kind of paying off this year. They are working their tails off. This bunch of guys is fun. If I asked them to eat a rubber chicken, they'd chew it down and ask me for another one. These guys are good, and they're working that hard. It's pretty neat.
And I'm sure that makes your job as a coach that much easier.
Or harder, because I got a lot of stress on myself to help them perform to the ability that they want to. You know, I know that I'm having a lot of fun. I don't worry about their work ethic. I don't worry about their level of effort. I just want to make sure that I'm giving them the best that there is to get, so that they're prepared and ready to do what they can do.
And that makes sense. It's a different kind of stress, I would assume, than, say, a coach that worries about the work ethic because of the big time gaps that you guys have between divisionals and then state. And I know you're not happy with the time gap between state and divisionals.
No, I wish we had some more opportunity to stay competing. It's always funner to compete with a competitor than your own team. So we've got some good workouts planned to help them keep fresh. We're going to do a lot of mindset stuff and get their minds ready to dominate when it's time to compete again. My hope right now is that they're going to be hungry. I want them hungry when it's time to compete again.
Coach, did the restriction of overnight tournaments, has that played to a benefit or maybe even played against you guys this year? Have you noticed?
Oh, yeah, definitely noticed. Well, think of this. Instead of 50 matches, we've had 25.
Mm-hmm.
Cut our season in half, basically. It's disgusting. I've mentioned this before. I think they ought to be ashamed of themselves for punishing the healthy for the benefit of the sick. And I can say that because our team has had it. We've been sick, and it wasn't that sick. And so, I think it's minutia, but that's my opinion. So take it to the bank. I don't care.
A lot of people would agree with you, Coach. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I do appreciate you, Coach, taking out the time to join us and talking about the way the season is going. We got this long gap now, Coach, so I'd love to catch up with you after divisionals and prepare for state.
You bet. We're excited. I'm looking to, forward to five or six divisional champions and that many in the finals at state. So we're looking good.
Thank you so much, Coach. We'll talk again soon.
You bet. Thanks.
Coach Kurt Christiansen again of the Emory Sport and Wrestling team talking about just a dynamic season so far. It's unfortunate that it's been cut so short, but Emory is in great shape preparing for the divisional round. We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We'll move over to talk NBA basketball. The Utah Jazz continuing to impress. They've won 10 consecutive games. That's coming up next right here on Drive Time Sports.
This is Derek Favors, number 15 from the Utah Jazz. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
3-point game, Harris. Pick and roll, Favors takes it strong and one. Oh my, watch Derek Favors take a leap right here.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. Talk NBA basketball. If you're a Utah Jazz fan, things are going well, to say the least. In fact, this may be the best that the Jazz have played in the Quinn Snyder era. That's saying something. It's legitimate right now. The Jazz have now won 10 consecutive games, and when you take a look at the schedule, an off night tonight, they'll return tomorrow to take on the Dallas Mavericks. We'll look at what has worked for the Jazz over the last little while. They now have the best record in the NBA, and joining us to talk about that, we have Tom Perkins, independent NBA scout, and also the founder of HoopCityNews.com. Tom, again, a pleasure. Thank you.
Always a pleasure talking to you, Jordan. This is a great thing for me.
I look forward to the conversations as well, Tom, and I know it's always good for business when the Utah Jazz are playing this well, and I truly believe that this is the best that this team has looked during the Snyder era. I mean, you can go back over the course of his time in Utah, and there's been some great, great stretches, but Tom, this 10-game winning streak, the Jazz look legitimate. Over the course of an 72 game season, whatever, I know we're playing 72 this year, but over the course of an 82 game season, you will see stretches of basketball where a team gets hot. I mean, 82 games is a lot. You see a lot of up, you see a lot of down. You know if something's legitimate or not, and I don't have any doubt in my mind, the way the Jazz are playing right now, it's legitimate on both ends of the floor.
Oh, without a doubt. And when they can have a guy score 31 points off the bench, that's pretty awesome. They've got a lot of firepower. And what's really interesting for me to see and satisfying, because I think, a player should play up to their capability, is Rudy Gobert. He's rocking it on pretty much all cylinders. So you got to love what he's doing. And, of course, the mainstays are always coming through. But, the Jazz are playing very well, clicking on all cylinders. And if they could just not be intimidated by anything, outside of their abilities. Hold on for a minute, okay? Okay, I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
But anyway, if they can go ahead and keep all the outside noise away from being intimidated, like, for example, LeBron and so on and so forth, they could do something. And I think they have a good enough pick-and-roll game. that they could, in fact, give the Lakers a big-time hard time, because the Lakers don't necessarily defend the pick-and-roll that well, although they defend everything else pretty well.
Yeah, you know, the way I feel about the Lakers right now is, even though they got off to just an unreal start on the road, this is a team that we haven't even seen them remotely play their best basketball yet. And I do believe the Jazz are playing their best ball. I think that there is still a gap between the Lakers and the Jazz, and we can get into the reasons why I feel that way. But as far as any other team in the Western Conference, look, Rudy Gobert over the last 10 games, in just over 30 minutes, is averaging 13 points, 15 rebounds, and 3 blocks. I mean, those are outstanding numbers. You know, for years, Jazz fans have tried to make have said that this guy's the best defensive player in the game. And I think that there was some pushback. If you're talking about a perimeter defender, if you're talking about Anthony Davis, who was fantastic last year, I know Brooke Lopez was fantastic last year, there have been other players that you can put in that category. Tom, for the first time, I'm very confident in saying, look, right now, yes, he is the best defensive player in basketball.
Yeah, he really is. And it's a kind of a thing that is, it's really hard earned, because there's no real accolades for defense, you know. And I mean, it's just a matter of mindset that you want to play that. So, yeah, that's I totally agree with you about that. And, of course, he's earning his fantastic contract that he signed,
which he needed to do. I mean, there were question marks. Look, I had question marks about it. Did the Jazz overpay Rudy? Well, you know, right now, no, the answer is no, they did not overpay him. But you had mentioned Jordan Clarkson, and if you had the defensive player of the year in Rudy Gobert, which I think right now, I mean, it would take some, it's early on in the season, I get it, but the trend that he is on right now, there's absolutely no reason why that's not going to be the case at the end of the year. You also have the sixth man of the year in Jordan Clarkson, and this was a contract, Tom, that Utah, they paid a lot of money for in the offseason, but right now it's paying dividends. And I think when you mix that along with Derek Favors, who also was not started the game, Favors has just a fitting role within this team. He's the body that I felt Utah was missing last year, going up against the likes of the Lakers, going up against the likes of the Clippers. The big defensive body coming off of the bench that we had seen for so many seasons in Utah and Derek Favors, that was missing last year. So, yes, we could talk Clarkson sixth man of the year, but if you combine that with Derek Favors, that's where the firepower is coming from. It's just the ability to have this type of these types of weapons that can complement one another off of the bench.
Right. Yeah. The way the Jazz flow, that as Clarkson comes in, he fits right into any kind of offensive style that they're currently playing in. And I watch for that a lot when I scout. You know, do the styles change when a certain player comes in? And it might change, but only a little bit, because he just fits right in.
Yeah, when you look at the trade last year of Dante Exum, it turns out it's highway robbery for the Jazz. Again, they do not have a game tonight. Utah is going to return. They'll take on the Dallas Mavericks tomorrow. And that game will air on KOAL. Outside of that, Tom, the Jazz will then go to Denver, Detroit, Atlanta. I mean, when I look at the teams that they have coming up, you get past Dallas. This is a winning streak that could last for a little while longer.
Well, I think so, too. And they beat a very good Dallas team. Not a great Dallas team, but a good Dallas team. And they just handled them pretty easily. I mean, Luka Doncic, of course, as we all know now, since I discovered him, he's for real. But that team's not necessarily for real, and the Jazz explored that. That's for sure. They definitely explored that. So it's a matter of they're beating the teams they should beat, and they're having a nice flow, and they have good balance in regards to offense, defense. They're not top-heavy one way or the other, okay? So that's a real positive sign for them.
Again, Tom Perkins of HoopCityNews.com, our guest right now as we talk about the NBA, talking about the Utah Jazz and their 10-game winning streak. Tom, if we step away from the actual game itself, and player movement has been big over the last couple of months. Most recently, it was James Harden on his way to Brooklyn. There were a couple of names that popped up yesterday that may, that will at some point in time, it appears, will be a part of the buyout market. That's Andre Drummond, and it's also Kevin Love. And these are two big-name players in the Eastern Conference. I don't believe Kevin Love is what he once was. I mean, this guy was a walking double-double, a walking triple-double concern every time out on the court when he was in Minnesota. I think those days are gone. But when you look at Drummond and you look at Kevin Love, two names that could be on the buyout market, these are two names that could really put a team over the top.
yeah, without a doubt, both those guys, especially Drummond. Drummond is he's actually been playing for a long time where he feels like he hasn't gotten any respect. So now you see, when a player feels he's not gotten respect, he actually starts playing better to let people know, hey, guess what? You needed to give me respect 2 or 3 years ago. Yeah, Drummond is a very, very decent player and probably ahead of Kevin Love at this point in time.
The reports say that if Andre Drummond is bought out, he would look to sign with the Brooklyn Nets. In your eyes, as a evaluator, as a scout, when you look at what this Brooklyn Net team is comprised of right now, especially with DeAndre Jordan, does it make sense? And is that the move that puts them over the top, rolling out a lineup of Drummond, Durant, Harris, Harden, and Irving?
No, I wouldn't say it puts them over the top. Now, I wrote a long article on the James Harden trade. And, of course, it's been proven their offense has improved with Harden in the lineup. I mean, they're practically getting 30 apiece or somewhere thereabouts, but they're still not playing that good a defense. But no, I would say that it wouldn't make sense because of the fact that, you know, they're going to have to pay Drummond a little bit more than they want to pay him. So, no, I think at this point in time, all the Nets have to do is find their defense, which, of course, is to say, play some defense. And we knew that those three guys can play offense, without a doubt. But that's not necessarily enough, as we know. You got to play you got to play much more than just offense. But it might improve the Nets. It may not. So I wouldn't go ahead and make that gamble.
All right, let's talk Kevin Love. If he's not bought out and Cleveland wants to shop him, there are some difficulties there based on the contract that he signed in Cleveland, but if they try to shop him, and you're the general manager of an NBA team, Tom, where's the best fit for Kevin Love at this stage in his career?
Well, I would say either the Clippers, because, you know, he's a homegrown boy, so to speak, you know, from UCLA and everything, or I would say the Warriors, because they've got a few dollars left to be able to pay him some. So Warriors or the Clippers is what I would say.
I'll throw another team out there. What about San Antonio? Because if you're looking at the Spurs and we're just playing the salary game here, you want to dump LaMarcus Aldridge? There's your chance.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that either because here's the thing. LaMarcus is still very serviceable and he still is capable of 2010. Okay, so if he's capable of 2010, can you say the same thing about Kevin Love? I don't think you can.
No, I don't think you can. I don't think you can. I do believe if you match up the salaries, though, I mean, that's why it's going to be difficult for Cleveland to move him, right? You're going to have to give up. You're going to have to find a partner that wants to give up something a lot in return. I mean, for instance, if it's Golden State, Andrew Wiggins has to be a part of the deal, I would assume. And Wiggins has actually played pretty well over the last couple of weeks.
What I'm hearing is that they'd be willing to give up Looney. Looney is really a special player who could do a lot with a lot of time. So I think they're willing to give up Looney. Maybe Weissman, I'm not sure, but certainly Looney. And then they would have enough pieces to wait for the much-injured Klay Thompson, which I think, I don't know. I can't imagine him coming back after all that.
No, not this season, no. I agree. I agree 100%. Two names to pay attention to, Andre Drummond, Kevin Love. Tom, we can end with this. Last night, we had a potential NBA Finals preview. The Lakers going toe-to-toe with the 76ers. It didn't disappoint. It comes down to the wire. Tobias Harris knocks down the game-winning shot. Lakers, they rally furiously late in the fourth quarter, down by double digits to take a one-point lead. If I was to tell you that's the NBA Finals right there, it'd probably be hard to argue at this point, wouldn't it?
Yeah, pretty hard to argue with that point. But the Sixers have a way of playing down to their competition or playing less than what they should. And Embiid, although he can be a monster one game, he can really lay an egg the next game. So, you know, he's got to show more consistency. I mean, that's what you have to go ahead and respect about LeBron James and Davis and some of these other people, you know, like how Kobe used to be. He could bring it for 8-12 games in a row. And Embiid just doesn't do that all the time. Now, if he turns that page where he can do it, that's going to be an exciting finals for sure.
I think there's a good chance we see it. I like the leadership that Philadelphia all of a sudden has, and they look a little bit different. We saw that last night in this contest. Still, though, it's frustrating to watch the Lakers. This is a team that's going at half the pace right now. And, Tom, we had a segment on this last week when we really broke it down. You expect some of these teams to pace themselves because the 72-game season was basically brought for television revenue. You got to get these games in. Financially, the league is depending on it. And so because of that, sometimes we see some subpar basketball. I'm sure you've noticed this as well as a scout.
Oh, yeah. There's been, definitely been some subpar basketball going on where you think, well, so-and-so's replacing so-and-so. And it's a matter of just simply having somebody come in for somebody, but then there's a downgrade to that. Last season, the season before that, wasn't necessarily a downgrade. So, yeah, I can see that there's been a little bit of a fall-off in regards to playing ability.
Tom Perkins, again, of HoopCityNews.com, taking out the time to join us. Tom, I always look forward to the conversations. Before I let you go, you can tell everyone about HoopCityNews.com.
Yep, well, HoopCityNews.com is my personal pride and joy, where you can read all the best articles. I'm currently working on an article about my very dear friend who passed away, Seiko Smith from Atlanta. He was a great, great basketball analyzer and a great broadcaster. So, for my own personal view, it was very hard to hear of his passing. As well as Hank Aaron's passing. But anyway, you can read all about it at HoopCityNews.com. I have statistics there. I've got salaries there. I've got everything you possibly need there. So, yeah, please join us in that. And if you want to go ahead and support my charity, which is underprivileged kids that want to go to basketball camp but can't afford it, we sell T-shirts there to help defray the cost of them going to basketball camp.
Great stuff as always, Tom. I definitely appreciate you taking out the time, and we'll talk again real soon. Thank you.
Fantastic.
We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 750 AM, the play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We're back to put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Fun show. Talk a little high school wrestling, throw in some NBA basketball. Coming up tonight, we have USU Eastern basketball, the women's squad, looking to move to 4-0. Been a lot of fun to follow the women's basketball team so far this year. Now, tonight's game will not air on KOAL. However, you will be able to listen to it at CastleCountryRadio.com. Just click on the Listen Live link. Live sports. You can also watch it at usueasternathletics.com. Two returning sophomores on this year's team, Kaislyn Kinley-Toomer. Kaislyn Toomer is putting together a phenomenal season in the early going, leading scorer on this USU Eastern squad. So I'll be joined by Travis Anderson in the broadcast booth. That game will start at about 10 after 5. So we're going to head out to the BDAC right now. Again, you can listen to that game at CastleCountryRadio.com. Tomorrow, we're going to be on the road in Richfield. The Emory Spartans will look to pick up their first region win as they take on the Richfield Wildcats. And then the Carbon Dinos will also be on the road taking on South Sevier. So we have some road basketball games popping up tomorrow. It's a busy, busy week. Just a lot of basketball. I love it. I really do. I love the sound that the ball makes on the floor, the sound it makes going through the net. I just love everything about the game of basketball. And so if you want to follow the Eagles tonight, you have plenty of options there. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to talk a lot of high school sports. It's a big night tonight for high school basketball on the girls' side of the court. The Carbon Lady Dinos are in action. So are the Emory Lady Spartans. There's a three-way tie at the top of the Region 12 standings. Tomorrow, we're going to catch up with Coach Ted Bianco. We'll talk about what's been a very busy week for Carbon. They play Saturday morning as well against the Grand Red Devils. Okay, so that's coming up on the show tomorrow. We'll also catch up with Coach Jared Butler of the Carbon Dino Boys Squad. That'll all be tomorrow right here on Drive Time Sports. I want to thank Tom Perkins. I want to thank Coach Kurt Christiansen. Out of time for the day. I will catch you tomorrow. Be safe. I am out.